Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and we're here at the roundtable on Saturday morning. Can you believe it? The middle of September. Time. Father God, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for mothers and daughters coming to the round table from around the world. Father God, this morning I ask that you bless each and every one of them. You know what their needs are, their desires of their heart, and we ask that they are met in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for the opportunity. Father God, I release myself to hear, to feel, to get an understanding of what you want me to say today, that we can be a blessing to mothers and daughters around the world as it penetrates through the family, blessing the Father and the Son, creating family according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, of course, we did a lot of talking yesterday. It's amazing when individuals have their tools. You know, some people are plumbers and have to have pipes and little gadgets to do what they do. And, you know, some people have to have books. You know, it just depends on what you're doing. You know, if you're a cleaning lady, you have your cleaning supplies. And my profession is talking, and I tell you, yesterday was a talking day. Up until 3 o'clock this morning, it was a talking day. And it has an effect on my voice sometimes, you know. So if it's a little scratchy today, forgive me, and I'll rest it up this weekend, and we'll be better, hopefully, during the week. A lot of things are happening, and it calls for various types of conversations. So I apologize if my voice sounds a little scratchy to you this morning. I just wanted to say that because I have a lot of newcomers that come on, and I don't want them to think that this is my normal voice. It's a little scratchy, so bear with me. Again, for the people that are coming on, I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, and you're here at the roundtable with mothers and daughters from around the world. And it's amazing the audience that we have, and having a mixture of mothers and daughters and a combination of thinkers and thoughts that are going on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock and sometimes even before, because, you know, you're going to think about it and, oh, wow, I got to make sure I get on the show. So, you know, you're thinking before we even come on, and I thank you for that this morning. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and listening. We have people as far as London, and we have some in Africa, you know. These people are up all time of night. We are not on the same time schedule. So, therefore, you're talking about 6-8 hours different. That's amazing to me. It's amazing, and it's a blessing. I just want to say thank you for taking time out of your schedule to do that. I don't want you ever to think that I take for granted that it's just something that you need to do. I appreciate you doing it. And if you want to, you can text your friends and tell them that if they would like to call in, they can call in at 347-539-5078. They can listen to the show. If you want to share your thoughts, you click one. And when we get to the conversation part of the show, we'll click you in. I'd love to hear what you have to say. That's how I get my education and training in the mother-daughter relationship. It doesn't come from what I say. It comes mainly from what you say and your relationship, because you actually live in that relationship and is experiencing it. Are very close to someone that you can share the story because you see them going through. So get a pen and paper and relax. Get your favorite drink and relax, and let's have a conversation this morning. And our stimulating conversation today is the love of a mother. We're on this love kick, you know. It's amazing. I don't select the topics. You know, the Lord tells me what he wants me to talk about, and we're talking about the love of a mother in many different ways. It's about love. If we can get into the love mode, everything else will work out. It's so amazing. If you think about it, if you get into the love mode, you would not hurt another person. You wouldn't hurt them with your words, and you wouldn't hurt them with your actions, and you wouldn't hurt them with your thoughts. Because love would just generate such an energy that it would just penetrate into good. Love can never be evil or bad. Love only produces good. I'm not talking about just saying the words, I love you. I'm talking about the energy, the love from your heart, the godly love. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, when you get to that kind of love, you will not do harm to other people, not even in your thinking. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the love of a mother, the most powerful love. So think about your mother and your mother relationship as we go through this morning. And let's examine the power of the love that you have or had for your mother. I'm Dr. Bessie, and I'm your host here at the Roundtable. I want to talk to you about November 17th. It's coming up really, really quick. The cruise is on, going to Kurtz and Caicos, and we're going to the Bahamas and Key West. Want to join us? Do it now. Get your room. Call Gina at 813-868-0007. That's 813-868-0007. Tell her you'd like to go with us on the Mother and Daughter Cruise. You want to do it sometime before the end of this month. Make sure that you can have space to get on. All right? If you have any additional questions, you can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's DRBESSIE, the number one, at gmail.com. Special thanks to our ambassadors, the strength, the backbone behind the Mother and Daughter organization. Appreciate you. For people that are coming on, you missed the topic. You said, what are they talking about today? We're talking about the love of a mother. The love of a mother. A very powerful, powerful energy. I'd like to thank my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. I think all the other ladies are busy today. I think Cynthia's on, and we'll go from there. Let's see what else we have here. I'm looking back at a couple of weeks ago, we had topic which generated from as is the mother, so is the daughter, Ezekiel 16:44. That's the foundation for the mother and daughter ministries. And that's the foundation for the mother and daughter relationship. And that's the foundation of what God says about the mother and daughter relationship. He says, as is the mother, as is the mother, meaning as she is right now or being, so is her daughter. write that down, go read it, think about it. And when you do that, that's going to give you a key to open the door of love for your mother and daughter relationship. Because then you're going to say to yourself, you know what? What part did I play as a mother in the reactions that I'm seeing in my daughter? What part did I play? What did I do or what did I did not do that caused her to be the daughter that she is? Because the truth is the mother, so is the daughter. It may not be the exact same thing, but the seed was planted, and the daughter is bearing the fruit from that seed. And sometimes you have to go back to find out what seed was planted and why, as to why you're having the type of relationship with your daughter. Because kids, they hear and see more things than, mother, you can even possibly dream of, because you are in it. You are being the mother. You are talking on the phone. You are saying words that they are hearing, and they're looking at you, and they're seeing the things that you're doing. They're seeing how you react to various situations. And the same way you handle a situation, your daughter is going to handle that situation pretty similar, so close to almost, it's a twin effect, because that's all she will know. We learn from our mothers, we learn from our fathers, we look at it, but that mother has a greater opportunity to influence the daughter than the father. So therefore, because most times hear the father say, oh, well, you know, take her with you because she needs to be with her mother. They, you know, it's just that the daughter needs to spend time with the mother. Now, if it's a son, you know, take your son with you because he needs to be with his father. That's usually the trend. That's the way people look at it. So if the daughter is with the mother 90% of the time, then she's going to do what? Pick up her traits from her mother. Therefore, creating her thoughts, her belief system, and she will be transferring that on, mother, to your grandchildren. And it keeps going as a domino effect. But if we get into the love of a mother, of course, it's going to be a domino effect. But it's going to be a different type of transference, because the love energy is so powerful that you can't do wrong when you're in that type of love energy, no matter what type of relationship you're in. So last week we talked about the love connection between a mother and daughter. We did that too, part one and part two. And the Lord just placed on my heart, if they could get the love effect, they would have no problem. We could get the love effect. So when I think of the love of a mother, I think about my mother, of course, because that's my mother. If I hear the word mother, my thoughts are going to go directly to my mother. So I have to go there first because, you know, that's my learning curve. She's the one I've been watching. She's the one that I got a lot of stuff from, majority of my stuff, and I say stuff and I mean stuff, because she was not a perfect woman. Just as I am not a perfect woman, and just as you and your mother, we're not perfect people. We learn from each other. And when we see something that we like, we keep it. We see something we don't like, we should just disregard it. I don't care where it came from, even if it came from your mother. And I tell individuals, when it comes to my mother, there were certain traits, love her dearly, but it was a controlling trait that she had that came from an inheritance of another family. I can't say it came from my grandmother. I'm sure she got some of it, but my grandmother died when I was very young, so I can't remember anything controlling it. The thing that I can remember is just remember her cooking dinner at 12 o'clock, so everybody, when they came in from the field, because my grandfather owned a lot of land, so when they come in, her job was to make sure dinner was ready at 12 o'clock. They would come in and eat, and I remember being a very easygoing woman, but of course when she died, I was six, and I can't remember a lot about any control issues, but what I did see was that the fact that my mother, being the baby girl, her older brothers and sisters always just put her on a pedestal. It was like they had to have her opinion. And see, I think that gave her the control mechanism. It's like, you know, okay, they, you know, it's a sense of empowerment. And so that's why my daughter and I talk about that now, because I see that trait can be very strong in me. And I'm working on that. I have to work on that. I have to try, you know, to think, to stay in the love mode so that I can not act out of those energies that was passed down to me. And I used to do it all the time. You know, I wasn't thinking because it was normal for me. It was normal to control, and she taught me to be independent and don't depend on other people. And if something happens to you, you know, it happens to me and Daddy, my mother would say to me, she said, I want you to be able to stand alone. I'm an only child. So she prepared me to live an independent life. But what that did was it empowered me so much that I really didn't submit to my husband because I was empowered to be independent. And she did it out of love. Her love was that you need to be able to stand on your own two feet. You need to be able to take care of yourself. And that's what she knew. She was that kind of a woman. But as I start doing mother and daughter, and God is talking to me about love, he says, the love. See, Jesus said the only thing, the one commandment, is to love each other. And there's many forms of love when we think about our interpretation of love. But we have to find out the love that Jesus is talking about. That's the love that will make you turn your cheek. That's the love that will make you hold your tongue. That's the love that will make you pray for someone when they try to harm you. That's the love that will allow you to forgive somebody when you really don't want to. And that's the love that will hit your heart when it comes to your daughter and knowing that you have a responsibility to that young lady to teach her how to love herself and how to love others as she loves herself. But you can only do that when you have that. So we as mothers have to work on that. Very few people just have it like that. That's why we have Jesus, because we always have someone to go to and say, Lord, you know, I miss it this time, and can you help me get it right? Give me the wisdom. Give me the understanding so I can do it right. And I think you have to just keep going to the well, getting a drink of love. Every time we make a mistake, go to the well, get another drink of love. And while you're doing that, you got to do forgiveness. You got to forgive your daughter. Daughters, you got to forgive your mothers. Love will make you do that because you won't be at peace. See, a lot of times when I'm talking to mothers and daughters, and they, you know, I worry, I'm upset about this girl, and she won't do this, and I can't sleep at night. That's not love. That's not trust. That's not faith. We're asked not to worry, not to think about the things that we need, where we're going to sleep, what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat. And someone was telling me about the birds under the bridge. Birds looking up, saying what? Looking at humans, moving around, worried, scuffling, trying to make it. How am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drive? Where am I going to live? And the birds are saying, they must not have the same father that we have. And when I heard that, I can only imagine the birds looking down and go, what are they doing? We live a carefree life. We're fed every day. We're clothed. I mean, we travel around the world. We're free. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? Do they have the same father? So we, as mothers, have traits of our mothers, and if you have a daughter, they have traits of you. So that's where we come back to looking at what are we putting out? What are we doing? What are we saying that's influencing our daughter? Now, we want to talk about two different kinds of love and the type of love, and you'll decide which one is you and your mother. There's a love that is close, engaging, attached, a lot of inner communication, and then there's the love that's detached, lack of energy, distant, and you think about it. Which one represents you and your mother? Because the natural feel for a mother, it's just a natural thing, supposedly, to nurture and love your daughter. And vice versa, the daughter loving and feeling very secure with their mother. And I know you may feel, okay, she's talking kind of choppy, you know, because my spirit is just going, it's telling me so many things in my head as I'm talking to you. The lack of that love has created the world that we live in today. It is the mother's responsibility to nurture the child, may it be the daughter or the son. And that's the reason I was asked to create mother and daughter workshops, create a conferences, create the network, just to remind you, mothers, of your role. I'm always speaking to the mother because that's what the father wants me to do. We're responsible for our children, and we are accountable for that. Don't think for one moment that you're just going to rise up and go to heaven and not be accountable. It's kind of highly impossible, really, if you think about it. God gave you a responsibility. He gave you a child. And he's looking for you to rear that child to glorify his kingdom. And how would you know how to do that if you don't get up every day and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? And how do you want me to serve you? What should I do with this daughter that you've given me? Teach me what to say. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Because she's sent here to do a job. And you will recognize the talents and gifts in those children. And when you do, as a mother, your job is to promote that. That's how you help that child serve the kingdom. What God will tell you in your heart, you will know basically the talents that your children have. They display themselves very early, very early. And I noticed that with my daughter, and I noticed that with my grandsons. I noticed when my daughter was little, she was always writing. Mommy, look at this, and she was writing stories. 3 years old, she was writing stories to read back to me. And I said to her, wow, you are a writer. That's who you are. And to this day, that's who she is. She has this ability to sit down and just write stories. She's got books to publish, just writing stories. But, you know, everything is in its time, and it will produce when God is ready for those books to go out. I look at my oldest grandson when he was little. He used to look in the screen door. You know, it has this little teeny holes in the screen, and he could see the smallest bug. I mean, any insect, he could spot it. And he had this love for insects and animals, and we knew. So when he started talking about being a veterinarian, everything that I gave him was leading to that. In the summer, we bring him down to Miami, 8 years old, doing a full internship with a veterinarian at their office. 3 years straight. Did everything that you possibly could think of at that young age. So we supported it because we knew that was his calling. My youngest grandson, McDonald's sticks, playing those drums, playing the tambourine in the church, 9 months old sitting up there with a beat. I told my daughter, I said, he's a musician. And that's who he is. So everything that I would buy him, like at Christmas time, the presents, I made sure there was something to enhance his gift. That's how we help them get to greatness. So I'm saying all of that to say this. It's never too late to go back and look and say, you know what? Let me see how I can help my daughter and how I can help myself. And the way that you're going to do that is first by starting off with an honest conversation. Let's just forgive each other. Let's love each other. And let's move forward. You cannot change what happened in the past. Don't even concentrate on that. Let that go. But you can say, you know what, honey? I apologize. I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'd like to have an honest conversation. I really would like to know what you really, really think about me. How do you really feel about me? Where am I on your love scale? From 0 to 10, where do I fall as far as your feelings about me and my level of love connection with you? And she will tell you. Don't get offended. You ask the question, you have to accept the answer. And if it's low, then you say to your daughter, okay, this is low. You know, I need to know why it's low and how can I fix it? What can I do to bring that up? Because when you as mother are concentrating on your love scale and your energy that you're transferring over to your daughter, as is the mother, so is her daughter. So when you are elevated, she will be elevated parallel to each other. So therefore, if you are down on the love scale, your daughter can be above you in the love scale in her own way, but I'm not talking about her love scale to other people. I'm talking about her love scale to you. And she's going to be right down there with you because she has some unresolved issues, some things that you haven't talked about, some things that you have not forgiven each other for.
some things that maybe she knows that you don't know that she knows that she's holding against you because she see you doing the two-faced thing, being nice to the people on Sunday at church and being ugly to her at home. Or talking to other people nice and talking to her very ugly and cursing and calling her things, calling her out of her name, telling her she's no good, she's never going to be anything. Then there's a conflict. And it's out of love. It's not love when you call somebody out of their name, when you mistreat them. That's not love. But if we concentrate on how do I get into the center, the eye of the love storm? How do I get there? How do I get there? You got to communicate. You got to be able to talk. You got to be able to have an honest conversation, even if it hurts. It won't hurt long. It might be painful. Get you that little 3-minute fan glass thing and you do 3 minutes, let your daughter do 3 minutes, and you keep taking one turn after the other, and you'll walk yourself through that conversation, and on the other side of it, you'll find forgiveness. Then you can say, whew, okay, baby, what we're going to do from here, we're going to start all over again. And I do that all the time. Even with Jesus, I'm like, okay, Lord, I messed up. I'm sorry. You know, please forgive me. I'm going to repent. Can we just start all over again? It's just something about words. See, you're going to say the word because faith comes from hearing. You can think, but it doesn't have the same power as speaking. That's why he said confess the word. So you got to confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. So you got to say the words. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Can we start all over again? Because your subconscious mind then receives that information. Register that information, and then your body is going to react out of whatever is held in your subconscious mind. And your words are the containers that carries your thoughts. And those thoughts will project a vision. And once you see it on your mind's eye, it becomes a reality. You can't have anything until you see it. So you have to see yourself in love with your daughter. You have to see yourself in love with yourself. You have to see yourself in love with the love of Jesus. And you have to think about that. Wow. See, that feels really good. Think about it until you just feel something in your belly. You can just feel it. I can't explain it to you. It's just a feeling. It's an energy. And you keep saying it. My daughter and I have a great relationship. We're in love with each other. I love her, she loves me. Even if right now you have not had that honest conversation, prepare your mind that way. It's like cultivating the soil. Prepare your mind. So when you start planting these seeds, these words, when you speak to your daughter about the honest conversation, it's going to be in good ground. And therefore, you got a better chance to have a quicker return for the rebuilding of your relationship with your daughter. And as I was writing this morning, I thought about no matter where I am, vacation, sometimes, you know, people will ask me, what is it that you do? I don't know why, but they do that. They just ask me, what is it that you do? So I go say, what? I'm a Christian clinical psychologist, and I specialize in mother and daughter relationships. It always followed that because that's what I do. I specialize in mother and daughter relationships. But they don't hear the specialize in mother and daughter relationship. They hear the word mother. That's what they hear. And immediately following that, they want to tell me a story about their mother. I don't care if it's male or female. Well, let me tell you about my mother. Sometimes they're good stories, and sometimes they're bad stories. And when I say good or bad, it's that, you know, they're angry with the mother, or she didn't do this, and, you know, it's a lot of blame, or it's,
wow, I had a great relationship with my mother. You know, my mother and I was great. My mother was this, and you can see the pedestal as it go up, 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 you know, just lifting that mother up. So no matter what type of relationship you have with your mother, there is a love there that's unbreakable, that you just cannot tear that apart. So what you're doing, you want to strengthen it, because the love is always going to be there. You can have a distant, unconnected love with your mother, but the love and the desire to have that love is there, and it always will be there. And when we're talking about an up-close and personal type of love, we're talking about where the mother's involved in the daughter's life, where they are communicating at least once a week. I can't imagine. I think it should be every day, but, you know, that's just my opinion. But I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, at least once a week. And they spend quality time with each other when it's possible. I know sometimes you're not in the same town, but now you have Skype. You have all kinds of communication that you can just sit down and look at each other and talk, and it's just like being with that person. And then they share their love energy, because that's going to penetrate through those conversations, especially when you're smiling, you're laughing, you're sharing good thoughts. You know, you can just feel that love energy just transferring back and forth. There's no distance in love. And then there's the distant and the detached love, where they're the mother's not involved in the daughter's life, and they do not communicate once a week, or they do not spend quality time, and they do not share that love energy, not the way that they want it. Everybody wants to have a good, loving relationship with their mother. I don't care who you are. You do. Now, sometimes when we're talking about that distant, detached love from the mother and daughter, you know, there's other reasons, too. It's not always that they're angry or had some major conflict. It could be a mother's choice. Something happened that she had to give the child up, and she had to make a choice whether she wanted to or not. She probably, you know, as a mother, I think about the mother in the Bible where the king says, you know, okay, she says, it's my baby. Another lady says, it's my baby. And they're going back and forth. He said, okay, I got a solution for this. Bring me a knife, and we're going to just cut the baby in half. We'll give you half and give you half. And the real mother said, oh, no, no, no. I tell you what, let her have it. I'd rather, see, because a real mother is going to step up. She'd rather someone else have the baby. So sometimes mothers have to make choices for the good of the baby. And then other times there are divorces that tear the family apart, and therefore decisions are made. And then there's death. A mother dies, and there's a detached, distant love relationship. And then there's that lack of communication. I don't care what she does. I don't care. I'm through. I'm done. I'm not talking to her. So we can name several different situations, but you know your situation. And all I'm asking you to do today is to stop, have an honest conversation with yourself, and decide where are you on your love scale from 0 to 10 with your daughter or daughters. And that will give you a starting point as to what you need to do to get into the love mode with your daughter. And that thing starts with your words. You have to create the right words, generate the right thoughts in your daughter's mind, so that she can see a vision that you really are trying to do better. And with all of that being and said and done, it will create a new reality. Take the challenge. Restore the love. Thank you for listening. I'll be right back. All right. The love connection, the love of a mother. That's what we're talking about today. And I think we have Cynthia here, my co-host. How are you doing, Cynthia?
I'm fine. How are you this morning, Dr. Fletcher?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Well, hey, as long as you're hanging, we know we're on our way. How about that?
Right. I'm hanging in there, I tell you. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. I really am. I'm in a good place today. I thank God, and it's just one day at a time, and it really is one day at a time. And we think we come up with something when all these different organizations say one day at a time. That's all you got, really. So why not make the best of it every day? To be determined to make the best of it every day. You have said so much in the span of the time you've been speaking to the issue of broken hearts and the mother and the daughter. And so it's the mother, so it's the daughter. You know, oftentimes, Dr. Fletcher, we have all this unfinished business, and it arises from childhood all the way up to go through stuff in adolescence, then you get with boo, and boo mistreats you, and that's unfinished business, and then you get pregnant as a mother, you have a child from your boo, and your boo done mistreated you, and then you resent the child that you had from your boo because she's a constant reminder of your boo, and, you know, there is just so many things that comes out of unfinished business. Matter of fact, I was on the phone with a young, she was texting me because she didn't really want to talk from the school that I teach on yesterday and how she's going through and whatnot with her mother-in-law. And I'm like, you know, we have to get in a place where we can actually talk to our mothers, our mother-in-laws, and mothers talk to their children. And you know, oftentimes, we as moms, we don't want to talk about it because it puts us in a bad space. And I think as the adult, and I mean these are adults as well. Normally your caseload, they're adults, and I deal with adults. But people have to understand there's still a role in this thing. You're the daughter, I'm the mother, I'm the daughter, and you're the mother. And so therefore, because we are adults, we have to be able to just stop and hear each other. And stop talking at each other and hear each other to find out where all of this unfinished business is. And it takes self-reflections to find all of these things out. And until you stop to find out and stop wondering and guessing why it is the way it is and why they don't like me. And, you know, you just got to really go back and get the pieces. It will be like me giving you a box, a puzzle's in a box. And I purposely took several of the pieces out. I took them out on purpose, and you sit there frustrated, and you would think it's a new box because I'm going to take it back. And you think if you sit there, you open it, and you sit there to put the puzzle together, and pieces are missing. All you're going to do is be frustrated in trying to put the puzzle together because some pieces are missing. And we as mothers, and when the mother don't take charge, your daughter, if you want a relationship with your mother, you have got to go back and get those pieces so you can finish the business. And until we do that, we either become three things, hard-hearted, broken-hearted, or tender-hearted. And all three of those things will keep us in a place where we can't love the way Jesus will love us and have us love each other. You've got to go back and you've got to deal with the unfinished business if we are going to heal that relationship. And just like we foster the talents of our children, we got to foster the love that we have for our children and vice versa. You just got to pour into it and build on it and make the other person know that I love you. No matter what, I love you. And Dr. Fletcher, you know, as a psychologist, you know the majority of all this stuff comes from unforgiveness. They don't know the story, but yet they have formed an opinion about that person based on the decision that they made.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. And you're right. It's about the puzzle of life. And we call it the mother and daughter puzzle because, you know, mothers do take pieces out of the puzzle. They know they take it out. You know, say, for instance, my mother took out some pieces that I needed to have to clarify some things, you know, in my relationship. And I'm asking, okay, I need to have these pieces so I can get a clear understanding of my family. But she didn't want to give me those pieces. So therefore, it created a challenge. But I came from the old school, so therefore, you know, you don't question her and you're not going to challenge her. And so you kind of take it and you say, okay. But I would say, okay, mother, I'm coming back. You need to make up your mind because I need to have these answers. And every time I try to get the answers from her, she would just have herself a little tantrum. She would just get upset, do whatever she needed to do to not give me the pieces that I need to those answers that completed a puzzle for me. So you're right. Mothers do. They take it out, and they think that nobody will know. I'll go to my grave with this, and, you know, but they do know. There's nothing that you do that somebody doesn't know. Somebody knows the answer. Somebody knows, and then they start talking. Then all of a sudden, it's going to hit you. And then now you got to have an honest conversation because you have some pieces to the puzzle that don't create the eyes and the ears for the face that the daughter needs to see.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. If you don't have anybody else hand up, I would like to read something if you don't mind.
Well, go ahead. Nobody else is.
It says, turn me and I shall be turned. Are you feeling like a victim? Are you tired of feeling like a victim? If you listen and allow these words to get into your spirit, freedom awaits if you receive them at the core of your heart. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I thought if my pain touched their lives, I would feel better, but I didn't. I thought by holding it over their heads, I would feel better, but I didn't. I thought by telling everyone what they've done to me, I would feel better, but I didn't. It only cost me friends and kept the pain alive. I thought if they acknowledged how they've wronged and how wrong they've been to me, I would feel better. They didn't, and it appeared as though they refused. So I felt even worse. I thought if I could understand why I picked such relationships, I would pick and create some better ones, and I would feel better. So I read books, talked to counselors, but that didn't work. Because then I uncovered other issues that pointed to me, and I just didn't have the emotional energy to deal. Besides, could it be me? Nah, it's not me. They're crazy. It's them. It's their fault. But now that I had gained some understanding, I could move on. So I thought by moving to a new house, a new city, and getting a new job, I would feel better, but I didn't. Wait. I did feel better for a while, but I'm back to experience some of those same old feelings as before. Something happened today that triggered those old memories, and I realized that I only changed addresses, not what was going on the inside of me. Finally, I did two things that worked. Not overnight, though, but gradually, patiently, consistently, as I kept doing them, they worked. First, I decided to forgive and keep forgiving in my heart until the pain no longer controlled me. Secondly, I cried out to God, turn me, and I shall be turned. He answered my prayers, but all the things that took place, my perception began to clear, and my heart began to heal. Why? Because at last, getting well meant more, so much more to me than remaining a victim. I had now discovered that the decision was mine all the time. What had been the problem all those years was a heart problem.
Wow. That's it in a nutshell. It's a heart problem.
It's a heart
and that's
problem.
What we're here doing, mending broken heart. People don't realize their heart's broken. My heart is broken.
Don't.
Oh, yeah. They don't realize their heart is broken, and that's the key to all the things that's happened in your life. Because if your heart is not right and you're not in a good place, you can't attract the positive energy. You know what came to my mind, Cynthia? It's just like we are asking God to do these things for us. God, I need the money to pay the light bill. How am I going to pay my rent? Oh, God, you know, what about my car payment? Oh, God. And God told me, he said, my people don't come to me praising and giving me praise and glorifying me. They come begging, and they call it prayer. You know, begging, but they act like they're honoring me. You know, to pray is not to honor me, to give thanksgiving is to honor me. So when they go, it's just like you're saying, if they realize they have it all the time, it's just a matter of what? Undoing them, looking into their own heart and seeing who they really are. Because no matter where you go, you're going to end up the same place, and you're going to end up the same person until you change your thinking. You change your heart.
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to change. You can have the house. You can have the car. You just got more debt.
Hey,
that's all you got.
Girl, you better say it. That's all they got. They done
more
debt. They done went here to Timbuktu, and they still, yesterday, you know, they went from here to Timbuktu, and they're still acting out. Because it has nothing to do with what's going on the outside. It's all what's going on the inside. And I tell people all the time, Dr. Fletcher, you go wherever you go. And therefore, you get your mess wherever you go. You know?
You're thinking.
Yeah, man.
And it goes right back to a lot of times when I'm doing counseling with mothers, tell them, you know, you know, with relationships, they say, you know, why is it that I seem to pick the same man every time?
Mm. It's something about
why
you.
Is it? These men come to me and it's like the men are wrong. No. You selected, you made the choice. What is in your heart? It's like American Express, no, what is it, the commercial? What's in your wallet? What's
right.
in your heart?
Right.
So
right.
out of the heart comes the, you know, the thoughts and the behavior.
Yeah.
Out of the heart,
what's
in your heart?
Mm-hmm. And we attract the same kind of people based on how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about the people in our lives. We attract the same kind of people. You ain't out.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't even got to be looking for them. They see you across the room because you wear that mentality, that victim mentality across your forehead. It's something in you that they see, that you are vulnerable. And so you attract the same kind of men in your life that continue to break your heart. Because it ain't the men, it's you.
I like the way you said that. I started laughing. I'm not taking it lightly. But when you said they can see it across the room, See, we all have this energy and this aura that surrounds us. That's what they pick up on. It's like, nee, 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 oops. You know, bam. Here's one. The energy recognizes each other. And 9 times out of 10, the two of you got the same energy. But you don't want to admit that
wounded
you had
people.
Anything to do with that.
Wounded people attract wounded people.
But, you know, you can only see the wound in his eye. You can't see the wound in your eyes. And then that affects the whole gamut of the relationship with you and your daughter. Because when, and in a lot of cases I'm looking at, when I'm in therapy with mothers, they said, I don't want her to date that guy because I know his type. I've seen his type. Yeah, they recognize it because, see, now the daughter has some of the same energy as the mother, and she's attracted to that same energy.
Male.
And that's why she can say, I know he's no good
for her.
Because she
she can feel that energy, and she knows that she's attracted to this person in some way, not to date him or anything, but there's something about him. She can't put her hands on it, but her energy is just, you know, ooh, because it reminds her
mm-hmm.
of a past relationship.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I got to close out. This has been a great conversation. I hope the audience heard something, got something from it. Thank you, Cynthia. I appreciate your participation.
You're
great
welcome.
Stop.
We've got about 4 minutes here. Can we leave with something? You mind, or we don't have time?
I don't have 4 minutes, babe. We got 2 minutes and something. It has to be very
okay.
close. Can you do it in 30 seconds?
Yes, I can. The forgiveness of God is far-reaching and without limitations to anyone who believes. He forgives the worst of sinners and the best of saints, atheists, adulterers, murderers, liars, and hot tempered, and the mild-mannered can all receive the free forgiveness of their Heavenly Father. The good, the bad, the ugly, and all candidates are for the grace of God.
Amen.
Thank you for allowing me to share that.
Thank you. And you have a blessed week. Love you.
Love you, too. You be blessed.
All right. This is not the Bessie and Cynthia show, you know, you're here. You heard us. We're sharing our energy with you. We're sharing our thoughts. And I know within my heart, mothers and daughters around the world that are listening to us has been inspired in some way. We just want to stimulate your thoughts. You have all the answers that you need within you. The only thing that God is asking us to do is to stimulate your thoughts, get you to thinking, stir you up just enough that you can feel something and know that, oh, wow, I need to work on that. It's an oh, wow moment. It's just a second. It's just a flash. But if you got that today, then that is telling you you need to do something about your mother and daughter relationship. It has been a great, great, great conversation, and I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show for today. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m. Tell your friend, call the mothers and daughters and say, please join us. Have a great week. Remember to fall in love with your daughter. Have a great week. Bye-bye.